Good morning, everyone. We're going to begin with a foreign affairs briefing from our colleagues at the BBC in London on two stories. The first, a very important unveiling today by Barack Obama of the details of his Afghanistan policy. South Asian policy has already been described as something much more central in the Obama administration than it ever was in the Bush administration. We've already seen increase in troops deployed to Afghanistan. More announcements expected today. Joining us to talk about that is Rob Watson, BBC defense correspondent in London. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Morning, John.
Also with us is Magdi Abdulhadi, who's the BBC Arab Affairs correspondent, who's going to help us unravel a mystery going on in North Africa, which may have implications in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Magdi Abdulhadi, thanks for being with us again.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
So, Rob, let me begin with you. Barack Obama will unveil this Afghan war strategy today. Clearly, it's a message for NATO nations. What do you think that message is, and what do you think NATO nations are hoping to hear this morning?
Well, I think there are a couple of messages. I think the first message is that the United States is committed to Afghanistan and that it believes that it can come up with a strategy not just towards Afghanistan but also to Pakistan that will make a difference on the ground. I think the other message is, and this is kind of a subtle one, you know, is that really what we're going to be looking at in the years ahead or the months ahead is basically an Americanization of the operation in Afghanistan.
So you see the Obama administration dialing down NATO's role and taking a much more aggressive U.S. role in Afghanistan.
Well, look, you know, I don't think one wants to be too ideological about this. It's not that the United States and NATO are having some kind of a quarrel. This is, you know, in a way, this is just hard facts of life stuff. The Americans have figured out that NATO countries are not going to be able to put a lot more combat troops on the ground. The Obama administration doesn't want to have a row with them about that. It just wants to get on and try and do the best that it can in Afghanistan. Now, that's not to say it's saying, hey, guess what, NATO, we don't care about you. Sure, they want NATO countries to be contributing whatever they can, more civilian advisors, more money. It's just that they've decided we're really going to have to get on with this.
Well, no, it's true.
And I should say that nobody in NATO has got a problem with that. Right.
I mean, exactly. And in fact, this is consistent with Obama's policy of pulling back from some of the linguistic veils of the Bush administration. Was it a coalition or was the U.S. unilaterally acting in Iraq? Those language games were really a feature of the Bush administration. I agree with you. It seems as though the Obama administration is just accepting the reality on the ground. It's a U.S. operation. So militarily and diplomatically, we've got some interesting details. This General Eikenberry, who's going to be the ambassador to Afghanistan, moving from the Pentagon into the State Department. What does that say about a coalition between diplomats and military leaders in the Obama administration as regards, say, President Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan?
Well, I think the main thing it says is that the Obama administration has tried to find someone who really knows Afghanistan well. I mean, General Eikenberry, I certainly remember meeting him in his former incarnation as the commander of NATO operations there. He's a man who knows the country. So he brings a couple of things to the table, doesn't he? He brings the idea that he's going to be someone who can deal with the military in the way that some diplomats find difficult, and he's also going to be able to deal with the Afghans. And I'd throw in a third thing, and that is that he's popular amongst the NATO countries too.
Well, let's speak for a moment about what individuals have said on this program before, and that is that military tactically, Rob, and that's why we brought you on the program this morning, the U.S. needs to rely much less on aerial drone bombardment tactics in Afghanistan if it has a hope of gaining the support of the civilian population. And the complications are even more severe if you talk about Pakistan's northwest frontier territory, where the Taliban has semi-autonomy in the Swat Valley, and the drone use and the use of troops in Pakistan has been really destabilizing. What's the likelihood that Eikenberry and the new team in Afghanistan, General Petraeus, are going to relax the use of these aerial tactics that have been so destabilizing?
Well, I'm glad you brought up the name of General Petraeus, because he's already made clear that he intends to borrow some of the tactics that worked well in Iraq. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's this idea that protecting the civilian population takes precedence over going after the bad guys, certainly as far as Afghanistan is concerned. Because one of the things that General Petraeus and some of the smart young officers around him worked out in Iraq was you could go to a place in Iraq, you could kill a load of bad guys, but if you killed one or two civilians in the process, and even if you didn't, sometimes that could do more harm than good. So, yes, expect to see an avoidance of civilian casualties in Afghanistan on an even greater effort that's existed heretofore. Pakistan, I think, is slightly different, and the Obama administration has given notice that it intends to keep up pressure on the Taliban leaders and al-Qaeda leaders based in the unruly western areas of Pakistan and possibly even beyond.
Finally, on this subject, and I want to move to our other story for this morning, but Rob, give me your assessment. I mean, Hillary Clinton talked about hundreds of diplomats going to Afghanistan. It really sounds like a hearts and minds plan all over again the U.S. is going to try to do in Afghanistan. Do you think there's any chance of, aside from avoiding casualties, of really doing a hearts and minds, grab the civilian population and make them, American patriots?
Well, look, let me kind of answer a slightly different but similar question, which is, do you think this has got a hope in hell of working, right?
Sure.
And I guess I'd say, you know, on the plus side, all the opinion poll evidence suggests that Afghans do not want the Taliban, that they do actually are prepared to get help from the international community, and indeed they kind of expect it. So that's on a very positive side. Also on the positive side, the Americans have learned so much from their operations in Iraq that they really are very, very good at counterinsurgency. So that's the good stuff. You're wanted there, and you've got the skills, and you're going to put in the extra resources. But on the bad side, you know, it's going to be a real challenge to persuade Pakistan to take on these Islamic militants who kind of straddle the side of the border. And indeed, that's something that the Obama administration recognizes will be the biggest challenge. You know, there's no point in making progress in Afghanistan if the kind of source of the trouble, the other side of the border, is still continuing to bother you. So that will remain the biggest challenge ahead.
All questions on the table for the Obama administration as the president outlines the details of that South Asian policy later on today. Magdi Abdulhadi, BBC Arab Affairs correspondent. Help us resolve a mystery of a story that's being reported in the West about an alleged Israeli strike in Sudan, which may have killed hundreds of people, possibly an attack designed to interdict weapons going into Israel to aid in the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Well, I'm not sure we can still call it a mystery, because it was a mystery a couple of days ago, but now we seem to have what appears to be a confirmation from American officials talking to the New York Times, and that has been quoted in the Israeli press, confirming that the Israelis did actually launch an air raid on Sudan, targeting a convoy of trucks carrying weapons, allegedly coming from Iran, heading towards through Egypt and up then to Palestinian militants in the Gaza Strip. The strongest indication that the Israelis were involved we had yesterday, that is Thursday, from the outgoing Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. In a typical Israeli fashion, he neither confirmed nor denied that Israel was involved. He simply said, "We will hit hard at any of Israel's enemies, any in the world." And that broadly is consistent with Israel, what Israel has done in the past.
And the patterns of reporting in Israel on this suggest that the story is under censorship. And so, that would tend to confirm some of the patterns of Western reporting. The United States, the New York Times, has suggested that American officials have linked this to Iran, the convoy to Iran. What do you have on that?
Well, what we have is exactly what you have.
Right.
The press reports. Iran, of course, doesn't really say that it is smuggling weapons to Palestinian militants or to Hezbollah in Lebanon. This has been the main accusation and the main stumbling block, if you like, in reestablishing normal relations between Iran and Western countries, and that is to stop smuggling or sending weapons to Hamas and Hezbollah. And inevitably, this will be one of the main issues on the table if and when there is talks and negotiations between Washington and Tehran at some time in the future.
So this final question to both of you, Magdi Abdulhadi, what are the regional implications here? Israel carried out an attack in Syria aimed at a nuclear facility, if I'm not mistaken, within the last few years. It had limited regional implications. This is a very different territory. Magdi, what do you think the regional implications are here? And Rob, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I mean, the people who don't like it, say Sudan or Hamas, they just be very angry, and there is little they can do about it apart from just continuing to get in weapons into the Gaza Strip. So if there is another confrontation with Israel, they can hit the Israelis.
Hmm. Rob Watson, is this an escalation?
I don't think it'll have any huge implications. I mean, after all, the Israelis say that they'll be tough about these things, and guess what? Sometimes they are.
Well, Rob Watson, defense correspondent for the BBC, and Magdi Abdelhadi, BBC Arab Affairs correspondent, thanks to both of you for that briefing on two important stories in world affairs this morning.